Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, idiot chief. For my life with songs of grief, with the yellow fear and fearless eyes. You temper all the times I've tried.
Court appointed. Two Dudes Perspective on Legal Folly. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer, dude, and a judge.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am still just dudin' it.
Still just dudin' it. I keep waiting for the day when you add a different title.
I mean, unless I move to Kentucky and buy one of those Kentucky Colonel plaques, I don't know that I'll ever add a title to me.
I don't think you actually have to move to Kentucky to be a Kentucky Colonel. You can be live in West Virginia and be a Kentucky Colonel, I think.
Can you? I was thinking you had to move there.
I think you just have to be sponsored by somebody.
Oh. Well, if you've got a sponsor, that means you're in AA, doesn't it?
I'd like to be sponsored by Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. I was going to say, if I keep going the way I'm going on NEAT, I may end up being sponsored by AA. I got to drink more now. I have to drink for the podcast.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it, right?
That's right. And then Taylor's added the YouTube part that we do too, so there's more drinking involved.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out the other podcast that Tommy is on, it's called NEAT. And he does it with Taylor, and they discuss spirits and how to drink them.
That's right. It's a weekly booze cast with a twist.
Hey, that's a good catchphrase. You should use that.
We should. And we do.
Well, there's something going to happen this upcoming weekend, or when we release this, it will have happened this past weekend, that does go pretty well with booze and beer.
That's true. It's a big game coming up, but we can't mention the name.
That's right. It's the big game on Sunday.
The big game that we can't say what it is, but it's kind of like an average container.
I'd say an above average container.
Above average container. A great container.
So have you ever noticed that people on television and radio, they always call it the big game and not actually what the NFL calls it? Have you noticed that before, Tommy?
I will say I had not noticed that until this year, and that DraftKings or some betting place or something is doing a big ad doing it that way and talking about the big game, and they can't say the word.
Well, the reason is that the NFL has trademarked the name of the game. And companies pay the NFL insane amounts of money to use the name of the game. Anheuser-Busch spends about $250 million a year. And the reason they can charge this premium, because the NFL protects their investment. They want to say, hey, only certain people can use our trademarked term. And you have to pay if you want to do it.
So it's the game that shall not be named.
That's right. It's like Voldemort or whatever from Harry Potter. Yeah.
It's like in theater, you just talk about the Scottish play. You don't say the name of it. Yeah, you don't say the name of it when you're in the theater.
What is that?
Hamlet.
Oh, why is that?
It's an old theatrical superstition. You can't say it or bad luck will befall your company.
So you can't say
the name while in the theater. You'll have a bad production. Yeah, while in the theater.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So people give you dirty looks if you say it in the theater.
The Scottish play?
Yeah. Shakespeare's Scottish play.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever noticed, if you've watched the end of NFL games, at the end, they always say, this telecast is copyrighted by the NFL for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this telecast or any pictures, descriptions, or accounts of the game without NFL's consent is prohibited.
We will come to your house and we will kill you.
They've been saying that on their broadcast for years. So they are very, very strict about what they own and who can use it. And they want to make sure that nobody uses their trademarked license.
Well, you know, it's funny because the name of the game was actually named after something that sounds very similar.
What was it named after?
I don't know if you remember. These were very popular when I was a kid. I don't know if they had faded out by the time you got here, but the old Super Bowl.
No, I don't know those.
You never heard of those? They were these really bouncy balls. I don't know what they were made out of, but they were really bouncy. They were called Super Bowls. So when they were putting together this first game, the first time they were going to hold this event, they were trying to find a name, and those balls were at their peak of popularity, and that's what they went with.
So they kind of stole something else to make their own name then.
Yeah, I was surprised it was that simple that that's what they went with. That is really lacks imagination.
Or maybe it's so simple it's brilliant.
Well, I mean, it works, yeah, but I was disappointed that's where it came from.
If you had to name a game after something that was popular in 2020 or 2021, what would you call it, like the Tiger King Bowl or something
Pandemic.
Like that? Pandemic. The Pandemic Bowl.
Yeah. The COVID Bowl.
The COVID Bowl.
The Hard Luck Year Bowl.
So I've heard people use the term the big game and all that, and I wondered, you know, can the NFL really stop people from using it? And actually, according, there's some precedent there. That's what we always like in court cases. Precedent. There's precedent.
There you go. All the precedents men.
That you can, you actually can use it. And there's a doctrine called nominative fair use. And it's an exemption to trademark infringement, which grants that you can use a trademark term whenever it's the most accurate or informative way to describe something. So if you say what that game is actually called, that, in theory, would be the most accurate and informative way to describe it. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
It's better than speaking in the abstract and saying the big game.
Right.
Or all those kinds of things. And this rule was established by the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals in California in 1992. The Ninth Circuit is always, there are always a lot of stuff coming out of there. For
yeah,
sure.
We get a lot of Ninth Circuit stuff.
And do you remember a band called New Kids on the Block?
Oh, yeah.
NKOTB.
Yeah, I remember them.
They sued a magazine that had been operating a poll via 1-900 number, which encouraged people to call in and vote on which one of the new kids, which one was the hottest. Who did you think was the best-looking new kid? Now, for those of you youngsters out there that might not realize this, back in the day, we had these phones that were actually a part of our house and not something we carried in our pocket.
And they were attached by a cord.
Yeah, and there were certain things. You could dial these certain numbers, and these were called 900 numbers, and you actually paid by the minute or paid by the call to call these numbers. And sometimes you would get to talk to, like, Miss Cleo, the lady who would tell your fortune or different things like that. Or if you wanted to, like this, call in and take part of a poll. And you paid them to do that. Well, the new kids, they actually had their own 1-900 number, which you could pay to talk to them. So they filed a lawsuit and argued there was a possible confusion about the source of the product. That consumer confusion is specifically what trademark is supposed to be protecting against, right? Mm-hmm. But they ended up actually losing because the two phone lines were for different uses. There was no way for the magazine to describe New Kids on the Block without saying New Kids on the Block. So by using the name of who they were, they used this rule that was the nominative fair use, because there was no better way to describe that band than saying what their actual name was.
That's true, because you can't just say that band with guys in it.
No, I mean, who could that be? How do you describe them?
Yeah.
So the big game, I think, there are other ways to describe it. Like, you could say the big game or things like that. So it's not quite as strong, I don't think, as the whole New Kids on the Block case. But I think it's very similar that you could say that. But the real reason no one says the actual term probably has less to do with the actual law itself and everything to do with the fact that the NFL will file a lawsuit if you do it. Because they are very, very wealthy. And even if you're going to win, nobody wants to be drug into court and have a huge court case with all kinds of legal fees and whatnot, just defending yourself just to win.
They can outlast you.
They can outlast you, certainly. So
they'll grind out the ground game.
Yeah. They'll run the clock out on you.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, the NFL applied for a trademark to name the big game as well. They wanted to try to trademark that as well, the big game. But that was actually denied.
Well, that's good. Well, that would be like, you know, I understand that you can't really sing Happy Birthday to You, that is trademarked, and you're not really allowed to sing that anywhere in public. And that would be like if you said Happy Birthday to You to somebody, just said it. Well, you can't say the name. It's trademarked. You can't say that. Because it's the name of the song. That wouldn't be good.
So the NFL and the big game has spawned lots of different disputes and different legal actions that we've come across. We thought that would be kind of a fun thing to talk about today.
That's right. But we can't say the name, huh? Can we? As long as we don't advertise it, can't we just say it if we're talking about it in general? We're two dudes just talking.
Did you ever see Stephen Colbert? He used to do a thing on the Daily Show called Talk About the Superb Owl.
Superb Owl? Oh.
Yeah, and he had different owl facts and things like that, just kind of taunting the NFL. So, no, I mean, we probably can say it.
We don't want to take that chance.
I don't want the NFL to sue me. Like, think about how big and bad the process servers probably are for the NFL. They come serve you with a lawsuit and some 6'5" linebacker knock on your door. You've been served.
I want to know who the poor bastard is that has to listen to every podcast out there to make sure nobody uses that name the whole time. I feel sorry for him.
What's your job description? Well, I listen to every single podcast to make sure nobody says Super Bowl.
Oh, you said it.
Oh, no.
Mike said that. Mike, why did you say that, Mike? This no, was not Tommy.
That was Tommy that said that.
No, no. Tommy's the dumb one. He doesn't know anything. He was too dumb to say it.
Thomas Booth Smurl. Here's the Social Security number. No. I think we're probably okay, but, you know, I don't think you should have said that, but it's okay. So
Let's just keep that amongst ourselves, boys and girls.
Nobody spill the beans. But there are lots of different lawsuits that come from this, and not just from the NFL, but from other people as well.
Hmm. What do they have to be litigious about?
Well, Kia Motors used a song, a funk tune that was owned by Dyke and the Blazers called Let a Woman Be a Woman, and it's owned by a drive-in music company, and said they own the right to the composition by Arlister Christian, and they sued Kia, CBS, the NFL, and the ad agency, David Goliath, Ninja Tune Records, and various other parties for infringing on the copyright of the song. So according to the complaint, the agency didn't seek or obtain permission to use the composition or sound recording in the spot. So could you imagine that? You pay all this money to obtain this commercial spot, and you produce it and do all this, but you don't bother to check to see if you have the rights to the music.
Man, we even know that for our podcast.
I know.
That you've either got to get one that's free use, or you've got to pay to get one done.
Yeah. Louis Vuitton sued Hyundai for featuring a basketball with the company's logo, and Lindsay Lohan filed a lawsuit against E-Trade 1 year, and the White Stripes filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Air Force. Well, actually, they didn't file a lawsuit, but they made a claim against the U.S. Air Force for using one of their songs. So it's amazing to me that these different large companies that pay all this money for these commercials and spots like that, they don't actually take the time to make sure that they have everything squared away before they air it. It's crazy.
White Stripes must not be very patriotic if they would sue a branch of our military.
I don't know. I mean, just because they're the military doesn't mean they get to use my stuff.
Or is White Stripes from Canada? Maybe they're from Canada. They didn't care.
They might be. I don't know. I think, don't we have some sort of constitutional protection about that? You don't have to quarter the troops?
Well, yeah. I think.
So, yeah, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, aren't they part of the government? And doesn't the government have to allow you to sue them?
You don't have to quarter. You don't have to quarter troops. You don't have to let the troops use your songs either. It's in the Constitution.
Huh. Well, I didn't read that part. I've been too busy reading the part about sedition and insurrection.
I wonder why. So you found a couple of different lawsuits or some instances of some legal dalliances.
Yeah, here's what I found is that, you know, a few episodes back we talked about NASCAR, and yeah. I made the comment that it was fraught with fraud.
Fraught with fraud.
And the Super Bowl is also fraught with fraud. It's a big money event, and anytime there's a lot of money, people are going to find a way to get their hands on it.
I can't believe you just said Super Bowl again, Tommy.
What? Oh, no. I didn't even realize I said it.
And I just said it again to point it out you said it.
No, it's like looking in a mirror at yourself in a mirror. It just keeps going.
We might be in trouble.
Oh, no. This is a terrible paradox.
So,
but anyway, there was a case a couple years ago where a Microsoft executive, Jeff Tran, he was the former director of sports marketing at Microsoft, and he decided he was in charge of Microsoft. He has a big gig with the NFL to those Surface tablets or whatever it is. They've got all that. Yeah, it's like a $400 million sponsorship. So he was provided with a bunch of tickets to the big game that he was supposed to distribute to employees and special, you know, people to the company and make use of them. I mean, this was part of his job, was to distribute Super Bowl tickets.
To VIPs.
Instead, he went around and sold them to people saying, yes, they got them, but they had to sell them. And he collected about $1.5 million off these tickets. And they caught him because he had submitted these fake invoices to a couple of different companies that he had control over. One of them I thought was pretty clever. He called it, you know, you've heard of Transamerica as a company. Well, his name was Jeff Tran. He had Tranmerica. It didn't have the S and the A right there in the middle. He just put America up against Tran, so it was Tranmerica. So if you just looked at it at a glance, you'd read it as Transamerica.
Right.
And so he did that, but they ended up catching him, and he paid back. He paid back most of it, but they were still $400,000 short of what he got, but they were satisfied with that. I guess maybe they said part of that was actually in tickets because he did have real tickets.
Yeah.
So he did actually buy them, but he sold them for much more than what they were worth.
Well, I mean, $400,000, that's not a bad day's work.
Yeah, well, for Microsoft, that's a drop in the bucket for them, huh? Another one involved a Georgia businessman, and he got a bunch of people to commit to buying tickets. And he collected $750,000 from family and friends and people that were interested in Super Bowl to, well, damn it, I said it again. They're going to own me, Mike. They're going to own me. Do you know a good lawyer?
You're on your own, Cushies.
Oh, no. But anyway, this guy's name was Keaton Shaw. And he was a prominent businessman, and he sat on the boards of a bunch of community outreach programs and everything. But he just disappeared after collecting the money, and nobody knew where he was. And they tried to track him down. His wife didn't know where he was or anything. And finally, they found him because he was living in a casino in California. And the reason they found him is he was acting like he was a real high roller, and he was ordering the staff around. He was sitting there and he was playing all the games, and they just got fed up with him because he was such a dick, you know? So one of the guys, he said, he decided he was going to Google him to try to find out more about him, to try to see what he could do, I guess, to get revenge on him. And then he sees that they're looking for him for this. So he calls the cops and says, hey, I got your guy right here.
It's like best case scenario. You want to get some guy in trouble. You're like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah. So there you go. Always treat the wait staff with respect. Otherwise, they'll turn your ass in.
Especially if you're on the lam.
Yeah. Now, they did put out, some things to try to protect yourself. They said that fraudsters use this big event to trick consumers into all kinds of bad deals. And they said that one is ticket trickery. They said even though you might see a website and it's offering a really good deal, you should go to, the first thing you should do is make sure that at the front of the website it's HTTPS. That S stands for security. And if it doesn't have that, then they said stay away from it. There is a website called the National Association of Ticket Brokers. And anybody that's a legitimate ticket salesman, they will be listed on that. So you can go to that website and see if they're there. They said also, if you don't want to do that, punch in the name into the Better Business Bureau's website. That's hard to say. Business Bureau. Punch it into their website and see if there's any reviews or complaints about them. So, and if it seems too good to be true,
probably what's the rest is. Of
it? That's right. It probably is. So, said same thing with merchandise. A lot of times people sell merchandise from the big game. Look for reviews and make sure that this is a legitimate seller before you turn it over to them. And another one is, they said a lot of times people send out emails associated with the Super Bowl and they're fishing for information, so don't give them any. And they said one of the best pieces of advice is to always use a credit card when you buy the tickets. Even if they try to get you to use something else, insist you only use a credit card because a lot of them offer protection, so you won't lose your money.
Yeah. Credit cards are always better to use than a debit card.
Yeah, because you can get your money back on that. You can't get your money back a lot of times on a debit card.
No. So there are actually some players and some fans filed a lawsuit one time as a result of the big game. And in 2007, the New England Patriots were caught videotaping the New York Jets defense to try to figure out their different signal calling. And that resulted in fines against the Pats and Bill Belichick. But it also had a lawsuit about the 2002 big game. That was the year that the Pats had beat the Rams. After the revelations that Belichick had done that, where they had spied on people, they started looking at the Patriots' past, and one St. Louis Rams player, Willie Gary, didn't like what he saw, and he, along with three different fans, sued the Patriots and Bill Belichick for $100 million, alleging the defendants had illegally taped a Rams practice. And that was what they needed to win the game 20-17. So that was one kind of interesting lawsuit that came from the big game.
But it would be hard to prove, but there's no doubt in my mind that it happened.
Probably so. But is that the reason they lost? You have the whole legal causation problem there.
Well, they had gotten Belichick before for filming other teams. Was it practices or sideline signals or something like that?
Yeah, practices and other games.
It was the Jets that they had done. And if you're so desperate you're going to film the Jets, I mean, hell, they beat themselves. You don't need any help. You don't have to cheat to beat them.
There was one minister in Ohio that threatened to sue the NFL and Pepsi. And this happened last year. He said he was talking about the halftime show, and his quote was, "They got crotch shots flying everywhere at the Super Bowl, and they don't have any warnings." And he had his own podcast, and he went on this rant saying how he was going to sue them for the fact that after watching that he was exposed to hellfire for watching the Super Bowl halftime
crotch show. Shots left and right.
Yeah, he is the leader of the Pass the Salt Ministries. And he actually one time led a protest at Target over the company's bathroom policy. So he's out there, fighting to make a change. He's leading the fight there.
Fighting to make a change, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, short of the Janet Jackson unveiling, I think that they have really cleaned things up for the halftime activity since then.
Well, there were actually a lot of lawsuits that happened after that, too. People will sue them for the halftime show for the exposure.
Yeah.
One person tried to file a class action lawsuit on behalf of all Americans, and they basically wanted the damages to be all the company's past 3 years' profits.
Well, you can want in one hand and you can do something else in the other and see which one has the most.
routinely every year around this time of year, the big game, the NFL goes ahead and files lawsuits, and the defendants are named does 1 through 100. And they don't name anybody, but they just know that people are going to do something that they're going to have to sue them over. So they go ahead and file these lawsuits to try to stop the production of counterfeit items and things like that that happen around the game. So
it's a preemptive suit, huh?
Yeah. They just name Jane and John Doe's 1 through 100.
Well, the best defense is a good offense.
Yeah, I guess so. They can't score if their offense isn't on the field unless you're throwing a lot of pick sixes.
That's right.
So there's a lot of legal work that comes with the old NFL and the big game. I've never seen any of it.
They haven't come to you, huh?
Nope.
I think you have to be associated with that area or the NFL or just bigger in general.
Well, I mean, I'm lifting. I'm on a good program trying to get bigger. So,
you got your beard's big enough.
Yeah. Well,
your beard should qualify.
They have the combine for selecting their lawyers too. So they go in there and see how fast you can type out a brief.
Well, there you go. You ought to do that.
How quick you can say an objection. Then they have how many times you can bench press 225, which is kind of odd. It doesn't really fit in with the rest of the requirements, but whatever.
It's just for fun.
Yeah.
Here was one that I thought was really extreme. A man was found in the back seat of a blue pickup truck in upstate New York. His hands and ankles were bound with duct tape. A rope was tied around his neck and attached to the headrest. Police rescued the man, Robert Brandell, a 60-year-old from North Tonawanda, and he told them what happened. He said he was left there tied up in the car after two men he was playing above average container squares with a gambling game, robbed him at gunpoint and took $16,000 in cash he'd won in the game. For 2 days, he was driven around Western New York against his will, Brandell told the police. So, you know, you've heard of people playing those squares in a game, right?
Yeah, it depends on what
you've got the numbers
the
up and
what the scores are at the end of each quarter, I think, or something.
And then they fill those numbers in, and whoever, you know, you do like the cross section up and down, and they intersect, and whoever square you has that, they do it. So they had sold these squares to where it'd be a $50,000 win if you won. That's how much they were selling. I don't, whatever that works out to, however many squares there is. So it was a big one.
Yeah.
So the story ended up being a ruse. Brandell was arrested and charged with felony charge of scheme to defraud and misdemeanor count of falsely reporting an incident. It seems that he was running this square game with a $50,000 payout, but he had rigged it by making up names on some squares in the hopes of taking home the winnings, police said. So in other words, he had only collected, the reason he said $16,000, that was all he had collected on this $50,000 thing. He owned all the other squares that he didn't pay for. So he thought he had whittled the odds down enough that surely he would win. Guess what? He didn't win. So he didn't have the $50,000. All he had was $16,000. He didn't know what to do. So that's where the 2 days came from. He was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? This guy's going to come knocking on my door for his $50,000 and I don't have the money. So he made all that story up. The kidnapping and supposedly robbery plot was to be the excuse to give the person, not to be able to give the person the money he owed it to. Officers had responded with what they believed to be a genuine 911 call when someone who had heard Brandell screaming and saw him duct taped in the back of the truck in the parking lot. After troopers cut Brandell loose, they began to interview him in a separate vehicle. We have an ID crew out there through his truck taking prints and looking for hair follicles. We're taking everything in the vehicle as evidence, he said. Meanwhile, other troopers are going to different stores and places and where we think we might have cameras. But holes seem to keep popping up in his story, and police notice his attitude and physical appearance didn't seem to match that of someone who had been kidnapped for a couple of days. So the whole thing fell apart. He admitted what he had done, and So they charged him with the fraudulent scheme and you know, false reporting of an incident and all that kind of stuff. And he still owed that guy $50,000.
I tell you what, if you can't trust somebody with your illegal gambling scheme, then who can you trust?
That's right. I mean, they had to have been, I don't know what that works out to. I guess if I was smart enough, I could do that math. But I mean, you're looking at probably close to $1,000 a hit or $500 or something like that.
Yeah, that's big money.
Yeah. I mean, I've done those before, but it was like a $5 square or $10 or something, you know? And yeah, to me, that's big money. I know I'm throwing it away.
Well, I think that's going to bring us to
Legal
Briefs. So Legal Briefs is usually the part of the show where I ask Tommy different legal questions, but I only got one question for him today.
All right.
Who's going to win the big game?
Well, because of Byron, the offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay, I want Tampa Bay to. But I just think that Kansas City is loaded, although I haven't seen – I know that they've lost a couple players because of COVID. And I don't know who they are or how much they'll impact, so it depends on who those players are. That might change the odds some there in Vegas. But I want Tampa Bay to win. I don't really want Tom Brady to win, but I want Byron Leftwich to win. He does have a Super Bowl ring, though. He was with the Steelers when they won it a few years back.
Yes, he does. And I'm going to go with Tom Terrific. And Tampa Bay as well. I think they're going to pull it off.
Well, I'd like to see it. I tell you what, to me, that really separates who was the main driving force behind the Patriots all those years.
Yeah,
Belichick or Brady.
All the people that say that Tom Brady was just a game manager. I don't know.
Yeah, because he's right back in the Super Bowl, and old Belichick didn't even make the playoffs. And he had a number one pick playing quarterback for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like he's a slouch.
No. So I think that's who's going to win it. So we're going to be forever held to our predictions here on the immortal record of our episode.
That's right. We'll go back one day and say, why did we pick the Chiefs? Well, I really think the Chiefs have a better team. Mahomes is just unbelievable. But Brady always finds a way.
I'm going to say 27-24 Buccaneers.
I think it'll be higher scoring than that. I think it'll be like 37-35.
If it's higher scoring, that doesn't favor the Bucs, that's for sure.
Well, it depends. I think the Bucs have a little better defense.
They do. So
we'll just have to see.
All right. Well, sorry to all of our listeners who are not football fans, but you indulged us with our little football discussion here. So.
But we are.
We are. That's true. We are. We are Marshall.
But we looked at interesting facets around the big game. I almost slipped again. Damn it. Three lawsuits is enough. I don't need any more than that.
It's going to be like $25,000.
You can't get blood from a turnip or something like that.
$25,000 every time you say it.
Oh, no. They're going to take me to pauper's prison.
We are like more Pawpaw's prison. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable Podcast for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you like us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out, though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Hello. Welcome to Tommy's Random Thought. Today's random thought is the waiting game. It's hard to play this waiting game, looking for the opportunity to get vaccinated. Some people are refusing to get it. They must be nuts. I would like to stand outside the health department shouting, "If someone doesn't want it, I'll take theirs!" I mean, really, it could mean the difference between life and death. Literally. Yet, here I sit, day after day, with a perfectly good vaccine available, and all I can do is watch all the others get it. It's very frustrating as you begin to believe no one cares what happens to you. As some of you may recall, Mary, my wife, and I had signed up for the AstraZeneca trial back in November. Sydney, Riley, and Justin all were involved as well. As a vaccine became available, we had to be unblinded from the test because we should not go get another vaccine if we have already gotten one. We found out that Sydney, Riley, and Justin all got the vaccine, but that Mary and I were just lucky enough to be in the control group, and we got the placebo. Mary was able to get vaccinated later because she works as a volunteer at Harmony House, which offers assistance for the unsheltered, and all their staff was protected with the vaccine. Taylor had COVID already back in March of last year, right after it broke out. So I'm glad that my wife and children are all protected. If someone had to be left out, I would prefer it be me instead of one of them. I need all of them to be here to take care of each other. My real frustration is with the way the trial is being run. I almost didn't go to the trial because the news was just coming out about Pfizer being submitted for approval in the U.S. the day before my first appointment. So I asked the lady, "What happens if a real vaccine comes out and I'm stuck here in this trial and I got a placebo?" The answer I was given was, "It would not be ethical to leave you unprotected if a vaccine is available. When an actual vaccine is okayed for use by the public, all the people that got the placebo will be called in to receive the real thing. We can't give you the Pfizer one. Of course, it will be ours." My reply was, "That's fine. This thing is being done by the people from Oxford. I trust those dudes. They seem pretty smart." So I was scheduled to go back for my follow-up, as they were to take blood about 3 weeks after the second shot was administered. By this time, the Pfizer and the Moderna were both approved. So I asked to be unblinded and found out I got the placebo. Now, my understanding was that means I would then get the real thing. In my mind, they had already gotten what they needed from me as a control unit versus those who got it as far as side effects. But they told me, "No, we are not going to give you the vaccine. If you can get one of the others from somewhere, then do that." If I had known that going in, I would never have signed up. My thought was, I am risking my health for this test, but if it works, then I will get vaccinated sooner than I ordinarily would have. It ends up, I risked my health for a needle full of salt water. While they don't know it yet, I am done with going back to them. They lied to me. They made an appointment for me 5 weeks later to go and give more blood. I threw the appointment card away after I left. I won't be back. In my mind, if I were to get COVID and die, I would want the doctor that lied to me sued, as well as AstraZeneca, for setting up such misleading procedures. Of course, I won't be around to do it, and the rest of my family is a lot nicer than me, so they probably would not have the same drive to make them pay as I do. But I can guarantee you one thing. I would haunt the hell out of all those people at AstraZeneca. So until I get the vaccine or COVID, I will wait, frustrated and angry at Big Pharma for not taking care of their human guinea pigs. But at least my family is safe, so it isn't all bad. This has been Tommy's Random Thought.